There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The UAE Food Bank is a non-profit charitable organisation launched back in 2017 under the umbrella of the Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum Global Initiatives. It is committed to distributing food to those in need while eliminating food waste by collaborating with local authorities as well as local and international charities to create a comprehensive ecosystem to efficiently store, package and distribute excess fresh food from hotels, restaurants and supermarkets. It's the first food bank in the UAE. Why? The need for it, according to reports by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, the FAO. Nearly one third of the world's food is wasted annually, equivalent to about 1.3 billion tons of food and approximately $1 trillion. Against these figures, there are about 1 billion hungry people in the world. So how do you rectify the wrongs? A lot of people texting in with their thoughts on food waste and food suppliers as well. This one's from Angel, who's been in touch on 4001, saying composting is one of the best and effective ways to get rid of food waste. I think that it is the best method to get rid of food waste. Composting has more advantages over other methods that will help to reduce the soil pollution too and helps to increase the fertility of the soil. Thank you for that.
Yep, Dina says, I plan my meals for the family for the week to avoid wasting too much food, and I also compost. Barbara says, I try to avoid throwing food away. If I have lots of leftover veggies that are getting old, I cook them all up in a stew and freeze them.
There are other ways, creative ways for you to help your own little journey and battle against food waste. In fact, we found a very novel one here on the show. Let's go to Maureen, who joins us live on the line now. Good morning to you, Maureen.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for sharing your thoughts and your experiences with us this morning. And I believe you've got chickens.
I do. I don't know how novel they are because plenty of my neighbors and lots of other places in Dubai have chickens. But for us, it was kind of novel. I'd always liked animals and always wanted chickens and didn't realize, on one hand, they're fairly easy pets to manage, but they're also quite messy. So I just had to figure out how it worked for us. Get them in their little area, make sure they have a lot of shade, fresh water. We get fresh eggs, and we're able to use up all of our unwanted food scraps, old apples, pieces of things that don't get eaten. I put them in a blender, and if I don't compost them, then I give them to the chickens.
Which is amazing, yeah, because I see it from, I suppose two people see it from two sides. They think, she's got chickens, which means great, she gets fresh eggs. But as you said, it's a good way of combating food waste within the house.
That's right. Yeah, we throw away a lot less garbage these days. In addition to recycling, which is really important to me, I find that we have a lot less wet food and even things like bread and crackers and things that the kids bring home from their lunch uneaten. If we don't put it in the compost, the chickens get it. And that way we feel like we're trying to do our little part that we can in Dubai.
Hi, Maureen. And also, would you say, you know, in the long run, it saves you money as well?
I suppose. I've got four kids, so we buy a lot of groceries, and I only have three chickens right now. I would like to get more, but we definitely use way more than the eggs that they give us. So every little bit helps.
And are you thinking of other ways of becoming more sustainable?
We would love to get an electric car. But the price point puts us off a little bit. But we would love to do that, yeah.
And tell me about the eggs. Are they different? Do they taste different?
No, not really. We were already buying organic free-range eggs, and they're pretty much the same. But at least I know that there's no shipping and trucking and fuel involved. It's just straight from the chicken to breakfast.
from the chicken pen to the breakfast table.
That's right.
And just a quick one, because you sort of reminded me of something of my growing up, my very early years of growing up. I remember we had goats at home, and they were sort of something of an animal version of a garbage bin. Basically, if you had any leftovers, it got thrown out the window, and the goats had it, and pretty much they had just anything that was going as well. Is it the same with chickens, or do you have to be careful what you feed them?
Well, for a while, I let the chickens roam around the whole garden, and I didn't realize they eat everything. All of my flowers, all of my plants were destroyed, and they also pooped everywhere.
Yeah.
So I had to build a nice big pen for them, and there was some money involved in that. We tried to do it ourselves. I clipped their wings to make sure that they stay put, And yeah, they're almost as bad as goats.
Look at that. Maureen, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for taking time to reach out to us this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed the story. Thanks for that indeed. Our thanks to Maureen for joining us live on the line there, and our thanks to all of you for your support as well. A number of text messages coming through on this particular subject. What are you doing to help? Well, to help become more sustainable, how are you combating food waste within your house? Let's get some more texts.
This is anonymous. I would definitely eat local if it was an option for everything I wanted to buy. And Uma says, I always find I have to throw some fruit and veg away by the end of the week as it doesn't last very long, but I do feel very guilty.
Keep your thoughts coming in. Here's another one that has just landed into the inbox. This is from Doobie out there saying, I struggle with this one too, particularly as a single woman who enjoys cooking and entertaining. My solution is to prepare meals for a few of my friends and then hand them out at work after a dinner party with leftovers or just after a long weekend out of town. When I still have uncooked meat and vegetables in the fridge, I will make hot sandwiches, chicken fried rice or savoury tarts the very next morning and distribute them amongst the needy or, of course, friends as well. My food waste has been cut down to almost zero and my relationship with my friends has got even better. They also give me feedback on what they particularly liked so I can improve on my recipes the next time, both for them and my family and friends. Sharing food is definitely a significant way to reduce food waste.
And Rami says, some of the restaurants here are so wasteful. What do they do with the food that's left over from brunches? I think we need to concentrate on that.
There are a myriad ways to fight food waste, says Juliet Miller. Juliet's been in touch on 4001 saying, composting is one. It seems like part of the issue you're describing is breaking down and rotting of uneaten food. A solution would be to organise and launch a composting program within your house, on your street, in your villa or elsewhere, scaled as small or large as you feel able to do so. And on a more macro scale, there are organisations that sole purpose is to pick up food waste and donate it to shelters or other pantries. Thank you very much indeed for that one. We're going to turn our attention and shine more of a light on local producers in just a few moments' time. Is there one that you would like to champion? If so, then feel free to get in touch with the show. Who are the food heroes here who are producing products, be they shellfish, be they fruit, be they meats, be they dairy products, or more artisan products? Who are those out there that are trying to make a difference to improve sustainability of our food needs and demands here in the region? Thanks for text messages. Keep them coming in. Hanan's trying to keep on top of those at the moment. Tell me what you're seeing.
Randall says, buying locally supports local capacity and builds food security. I support it 100%. Thanks for that, Randall. And Pars said, food waste needs to be reduced at the commercial level, especially during certain periods of the year. He says he's not going to iftar tents because he's worried about the waste of food.
See, this is something that struck me. I've been to a couple of iftars now, and it's extraordinary. I went to a big one over the weekend, which was lovely, was absolutely lovely. Mm-hmm. But the sort of two elements to this, I suppose. First up is the fact that there is so much food. It is basically, you know, a brunch every evening now. But at the same time, it's also that sort of the way that hotels market it, it's almost also that sort of brunch mentality where you're paying for an iftar, and you're, as soon as you've paid for it, you think that mindset is, well, I'm going to get my money's worth, and you end up overeating. And it's because it's driven. I suppose iftars at home amongst family and friends are very different because you eat as much as you need and then you save the rest for the next day. But if you're paying to go out to an iftar, then your sort of natural reaction is to try and get as much as you can.
Arguably, yes. I mean, and I suppose everyone has a different way of looking at it, and that's possibly for someone who's not really participating in Ramadan, but obviously from someone who is actually fasting and everything point of view, I think people do tend to take it a little bit easier, obviously thinking about the meaning behind it, and you know, they break their fast with a date and then they sort of have separate meals.
I get that completely, but for those that are breaking fast with family and friends, completely I get it. But I find it interesting for somebody who's not fasting, and the way that it has been and is marketed by hotels during Ramadan as something that everyone comes to. It's very inclusive as well. And it's
Social, very sociable.
Very sociable, and it's and I just wonder whether it's that's something that hotels are obviously looking for revenue during a downtime for them overall over the year, and this is something that's seen. And I wonder whether there's just too much food on offer.
Possibly, and also it is like you said, because it's a set price, isn't it? So whatever you're going to eat, you're going to pay the same. So, and it's harder to limit yourself and say, right, I'm not going to have that, because you've got so much choice.
Let us turn our attention to local food heroes. Last year, the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment introduced a new programme to make local organic produce not only more readily available in supermarkets around the country, but also more affordable in comparison with its more expensive imported counterpart. Local produce includes zucchini, cucumbers, tomatoes, eggplants, and much, much more. And the ministry says they have made investments in other countries, while dates are being exported to 45 countries. The growth of organic farmland in the UAE has gone from 2,360 acres in 2009 to 45,890 acres last year. The ministry also provided farming equipment, including tools for organic and hydroponic farming, at just half price. One brand that has very much been at the forefront of that development is, of course, Kibson's, family-run business that provides healthy and affordable produce from fresh fruits, vegetables, organics, meat, seafood, dairy, and more. They've also have local tomatoes grown here in the UAE. Their procurement manager is David Prokopiak, who joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
Thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. First and foremost, I mean, Kibson's extraordinary success story. The growth of the Kibson's brand has been phenomenal in recent years. How much of that is down to a sort of a changing of opinion from your customers and consumers looking to buy more locally?
Yeah, I think a lot of success is attributed to that. We've got such a wide range of customers, wide range of tastes, wide range of budgets, wide range of cultural backgrounds. We have to offer a full range to suit every taste, and local is a big part of that.
In terms of the production of local, I suppose that's the other element, because you are a supply and demand business. Are you getting to the point now at the moment where the supply has become, or the demand is becoming so extensive across the regions that you serve, that you're trying to keep up with the supply, given the promises of trying to create as much locally as possible?
Yes. Historically, local produce didn't have the best reputation. It wasn't the most consistently available product. But recently people have done a lot better. There are a lot more farms producing a wider range of products. They're much more consistent. They're branded well. And you can actually start to create a consumer following.
In terms of the produce that you are investing into as well, in terms of growings and hydroponics here in the region, there are examples that you can share with us at the moment as to some of the crops that you're looking to generate?
Yeah, well, we work very closely with different suppliers. They grow the product independently, and we just promote and support them where possible. So we're working with one farm. They grow a brand of tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, called Tomatolicious. They've obviously received quite a bit of foreign investment, and they're working with, the latest Japanese growing and water-saving technologies, and they're managing to grow a very, very premium product in the UAE, even more premium than Dutch product and European product at a very similar price. So, yeah, that's an example of one of them who's really taken a step up, and customers have responded very, very well to that.
And David, hi. Cost is often a big factor for customers. What's the difference in price between sort of local and international produce, for example, fruit and veg?
Well, historically, like I said, it used to be a lot of cheap sub-quality produce available, perhaps 5 years ago. But recently, with better farming methods and more professional operations, the quality of products has improved considerably, and the cost of these items has gone up, but customers are willing to pay that couple of dirhams extra for a good quality local product, but they still remain considerably cheaper than an imported product. There's definitely a benefit, and customers will pay a little bit more for something that's local but still good quality.
And are they lasting longer? Because obviously, you know, the thing about imported products, obviously, is potentially it's taken some time to get here. So is that one of the benefits? Is it potentially, you know, that the local produce will last longer?
Yes, definitely. That plays a huge part in it. And customers and consumers are much more aware of that, and much more, they want to understand where their food comes from, the origins of their food, and that's playing a big role as well.
And what about the speed of service? How high on the agenda of the customers out there at the moment? We're all demanding not just our fruit and veg, not just our groceries and produce, but everything in our lives much quicker than we have before. Is that one of the challenges for you and the rest of the team? Because I'm certainly seeing more and more Kibson's vans out there on the road.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. You know, I think the word convenience is thrown around quite loosely, but to actually put a very convenient system and service in place, it's a lot more challenging than it sounds, but we're doing a very good job, and you know that's why we have become so successful and pioneered the online fresh produce service in the last couple of years.
And in terms of plans for the rest of the year, obviously we're going into the summer period where a number of people will be heading out, but growth for the rest of 2018, is that on the agenda?
Yes, definitely. We expect a big boom at back to school, the beginning of September. But luckily, the next couple of months, or July and August, will give me time personally to relax and think about new products and try and understand exactly what our customers want for the upcoming year.
And Dave, just one final one from me, because we're talking to a number of local suppliers. We're asking that question about would people eat more locally if it was more readily available at the moment, which sort of feeds into exactly your mantra. But if people are out there as producers, if they be boutique producers or large-scale producers, and if they think they've got a quality product, are you sort of open for them to come to you and show you their products?
Yeah, definitely. Why not? I speak to more than five different producers every week from local farms. You know, if you can be consistent, if you can produce a high quality product, good packaging and branding, yeah, definitely. There's no reason why we wouldn't work with it.
David, bless you. Thanks so much indeed to you and all the Kibson's teams. Keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks very much.
A big thanks to David Prokopiuk for joining us live on the line there. He's the procurement manager at Kibson's, family-run business that is helping to deliver fresh food to your households, fresh ingredients, I should say, to your households around the UAE.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.